All right, today is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. Time right now is 5:15. This is a regular board meeting. All board members are present. I'm now going to call this meeting to order and start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic
for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's a nice service. Cool. Sparkle.
All right. Item B, adoption of the agenda. I don't have anything.
Me neither.
On the agenda that I'll put in the minutes is that I did move the meeting to the library because the cafeteria was...
I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of June 22nd.
Okay, at the library.
At the library.
I'll second that.
Aye.
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 And then item two, call to the public. Nothing. All right. And moving on to item three, the consent agenda. A, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting, May 19, 2021. I have nothing.
I don't either.
All right. And then B was the presentation of the May financial report. And C, approval of the May vouchers.
All right. If we look at the monthly vouchers, one-page sheet. There's nothing extraordinary on that one. The only larger item is the last payroll in May, and that is because we gave the teachers their classroom improvement payment out of the 301. So that's the increase of that voucher.
Okay.
Okay. There'll be another one coming up.
June 25th. I have nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing here.
All right. And moving on to the approval of the intergovernmental agreement with the county for the school resource officer.
So last month we approved Bobby Zavala. Today at 10 o'clock, the county approved the IGA. I have a copy of the IGA in your packet for you, so you see what they approved. The contract will start on, actually between the county and us, starts on July 1, but the officer will start here July 19th. The first week he will be here, he will be helping and looking at our emergency plans and helping me assess what changes we need to make to those emergency plans that were written sometime in the early 1930s, I think, but probably later than that, but it doesn't seem like it. Every place we're supposed to go to is now closed. So we're going to be updating. That's our project for this year, and he's going to help me with that at the start of the year and then as we go through the year. So they approved Bobby Zavala today, so that would be just basically a formality for us to approve this. That's why I put it in the consent agenda.
See? I have nothing on that.
I have nothing further.
All right. And E is approve the business evaluation tool.
So I called it a tool. It's, you know, the business manager evaluation form. I kind of took three different evaluations that I found, and I put it together in one that I felt covered what we're looking for from the business manager position. If you notice on number 8, which is on the third page, there is still some red writing. Mm-hmm. And that is because in that part of it, it talks about the business manager taking the minutes and publishing and all of that. And that's not something right now that we have the business manager do. As Kristen King gets more comfortable with everything and is able to, I think she's doing a great job so far, but if she's able to help Donna and I with some more things, that's something that we can look at Donna doing. But as I told Donna, I'd say for the next year anyway, I think that we're just going to leave it the way we have it.
Tim, for the record, Typically, it was not our business manager that has always done that either. Okay. Sometimes it did fall upon the, we had at one point a principal and a superintendent, two separate entities.
Okay.
And so, and then after that, then we had one of our superintendents slash principals, one person that did partake in that with the assistance of our office personnel. But at that point, we had somebody else in there as an assistant also for the upper front lady. So it has been changed over the years, just for your own information.
Okay, yeah. And I, like I said, I just left it in red so it's there. And if and when we're going to add it, we'll come back and talk about a change in job duties if we do that. Right now it's not, you know, I mean, Mr. Rodriguez and myself and then Ms. Elias kind of tackle all of that. So I think that it's fine the way it is right now. The one part that's on there is attends and participates in all board meetings, and I want to leave that. And so I left that in black, and I left the other stuff in red. And we'll address it if we need to in the future.
Sounds good.
I have nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
And then the last thing is just with the contract that we voted on either December or January, or myself, we had two things. One, extended life insurance, which we thought was going to run us probably $100 a month. Kristen King got going on it last Monday, and through State Farm or Allstate found insurance for under $59 a month, $58 or $59 depending upon which policy we go with. So pretty reasonable. We were pretty sure it was going to be $100 or more. So we got another one that came in the 70s. So must because I'm such a finely fit guy that you know they just. I mean, everybody should be able to get a good rate. So, anyway, so we're looking, that would be the group that we would go with for the life insurance. And then we are able to just leave the 403 in with the company that I've worked with so that I wouldn't have to move all my retirement stuff around in places. So that company is Focus Financial, and they're located in Minnesota, but they're licensed in like 40 states or something like that. So we just wanted you guys to know that and get you back this life insurance because we've been working on it off and on since January, I think. So those are the five things on the consent agenda, and if anybody has questions, Donna can answer anything about number five probably, and I can try to answer for... Is it F, whatever it is.
I'm fine with everything as is.
Do you have anything about both E and F?
No, I've checked on the protective, which is a sub of Allstate, and I think his name is Doug, has been very cooperative and very good to work with. And so on the insurance, and then I've talked to Amanda back in Minnesota regarding his 403. So I've got the papers back to her, so we're on a roll.
Cool.
And the evaluation tool was Donna's homework over the weekend. So if she had anything that alarmed her, she was supposed to get a hold of me. Like a student, she never did, so I'm assuming it's okay.
All right.
That's all I have for the consent agenda.
All right. I would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
You had somebody calling you by name of Britt.
Oh, that's just my daughter. She knows I have a board meeting. So.
And Bobby Zavala.
Bobby Zavala.
Yeah, I'll just have to call him back again.
Oh.
He knows we have a board meeting. Worse than a kid, I tell you. Okay.
You want me to text him? Dude. No, just kidding.
Alright.
Let me go get a cookie. Before we
go ahead.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to let him know that
I'm
calling that.
Okay, hang up.
Oh, he finally figured it out. I'm sure my daughter picked it up and hit dial, and then she got by my wife. You know he's got for me.
Am I the only one getting cookies?
No, I already had a...
I want one.
Now, you're supposed to take a piece of cake, because you were the first choice. Donna's been waiting. She's got two or three picked out, but she was waiting for you.
So. Oh, my dinner sugar high.
Yeah, there you go. Us diabetics got to hang together.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I didn't bring one. See, now look at that. So far, I've got Don making the first motion, Mr. Almost seconding. Mr. Almost making the motion, Romero seconding. I was right on both. So now Romero needs to get on the ball because I'm after making the last nine motions.
Me? Oh, my God.
I just copied and pasted the same thing. I wanted everybody to
All right. Moving on to action items. A is presentation discussion possible vote on approving the removal and replacement of the cafeteria doors.
All right. So I gave you the best price. We have three bids. The best price that came in was $11,407, and that was through Vista Glass. This will be paid, and we will run it through. Right now, it looks like ESSER 3 funding, as I tried to explain. When I delivered the packages to everybody, ESSER 2 and ESSER 3 are fluid right now. It's like having a bowl of water and a bigger bowl of water. And so right now we think we know how it's going to be spent, but if we have the approval for this and this work can get done, but it was in this pot, we might move water from one to the other. What we know is we've got 1.092 million over here and 488,000 here. And the idea is not, the idea is to spend money to cut the learning gaps, to make up for the lost learning, and to do things for the school that will put them in a good place academically and physically for the future. And living in Arizona, we know that they're not going to give us $1.5 million anytime soon. So we need to use it. So one of the things, fixing those doors right now, the door brakes are not the, what are they called, the release things, the panic bars,
I'd call it panic bar,
but anyway, they don't, they're a little stiff, but they don't always lock easily. Sometimes they, you can jiggle them and pop them, so we need to put new doors on. So to take care of both of those doors, it was $11,400.
They've never been replaced, huh, those doors?
They replace the inside. When you lock them, there's a bar that goes up, okay.
But since they put up the new building, I don't think they've been tampered with since the new building's done. Other than that, I don't think.
Yeah, I think they replaced the bars one time, but that was it.
That was it,
and
yeah.
So, right, so when we talked to them about whether they could do new panic bars with the locks, every company said no. So that they would have to replace the doors or put a whole new set of panic bars on, and the doors have some air gaps and things. So we just figured, this is the money, this is the time we have it, let's do it right.
And this is for both doors?
It's for both doors, and it's going to be, I mean, you know, it'll be good for another 15 years or however long, I don't know how long.
They're busy glass, they're reputable, and we know where to find those guys, too,
right.
You know.
Yeah, all of the ones were local, were pretty local that we got, so, but I felt good about that. We got the first bid came in at $11,580, and the second one was $11,407. So they were both in the ballpark, and I don't remember the third bid. I was thinking it was like 12 or 13, but anyway, so this would be the one that we would recommend that we approve, and what we will do is we can go all the way back to March of last year with any ESSER funds, but we can approve it now. We won't order it until we have it in the funnel to go through the ESSER 3. Our goal is to try to have that done by about July 1st. And then we can start spending those monies, and if we have the ability with ESSER to spend it and get reimburse ourselves through journal entry also if we want to. So.
And what is the guarantee? I'm looking at the paperwork. Is there any type of guarantee associated?
That would be.
I'm not seeing conditions talking. Yeah, so I'm just inquiring because this is something we haven't had to do in a long time.
Right.
You just hope that there'd be some type of longevity associated.
I'm trying to see under the terms and conditions, and All I see is that the bid's good for 30 days.
In conditions, it doesn't really talk about alteration or deviation from the bid, blah, blah, and all that stuff. So.
Right, it doesn't.
Maybe you might just want to ask them if there is, just for the heck of it.
Okay.
We'll make sure we'll ask tomorrow.
We'll give them a call.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
And we'll go ahead and, we can go ahead and push it, right? And then, I don't have any objections to it. And then that's something that maybe we should just inquire, if everything goes south in a year, where do we stand,
Well, if we don't have protection for a year, we can always go to the second one because the second price is $170 more or something like that.
Right.
It's $173 more.
What do you think? Do you want to table this? What do you guys think?
Well, the only problem that I have with tabling it depends on what we did at the end of the meeting, but I was looking at the next meeting being July 20th because we're going to need two special meetings. We can talk about that. You guys can have the meeting earlier than that. But if we wait, if we get the money approved on July 1st or 2nd, it'd really be nice to get it scheduled, is all I'm thinking. So if they
you want to go ahead and do it, and then we can always.
Right. If they don't have any warranty, we can bring this back and do it at the second special meeting as well.
Okay.
It's only good for 30 days, and we're already past that.
Okay.
It says Vista Glass makes no guarantees that the system bid. Oh, never mind. That's another one.
So we'll have to call them anyway because this bid came. I didn't think you got it in May. Armand, I've talked to him. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have to call them tomorrow and make sure they're going to honor this $11,407, and we can check on the warranty with it as well.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they're all in there. It might be just a slight difference.
Right.
I don't think it's very much.
I don't foresee it. I mean, if they came back higher than the 11,580, we would grant that.
And we do approve it's going to be for $12,000, right?
So. Just tell Angelica Rodriguez to give us a good price. She's my cousin. She has to do a good price.
Well, all right.
And she came to this school.
I'll just say this is real.
Come on, dude.
All right. So we'll make that call tomorrow, and we'll get the updated bid to make sure it's still good.
So are we tabling?
No.
We'll approve it. We'll approve it as is, as long as the bid stands and there is a warranty.
Okay. All right.
I want to make the motion to approve Service the Glass to repair both doors from the cafeteria. What is it? By checking in on the guarantee?
We will make sure there's a warranty and that the price is still good.
Does the number stand? Okay, I'll second.
Aye.
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 All right, and moving on to action item B, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on approving the SR3 or ARP budget.
All right, so this is the one last time where I forgot to have the nice green color printout. So the first two pages of that color printout are the SR2 as we submitted it to the state, and who and what is on that submission, and then... And then the last three pages are the SR3 or the ARP plan as is. As I said, this is a little fluid. There's still some money left to spend. What we need to tonight do is just approve the ARP or SR3 for the $1,092,000. 5775. Okay. Right. For some reason, I don't have the total on here. I have both the breakdowns. So in the SR2, I'll quickly go through that for you guys. We have those TVs, interactive TVs. We had six computers that we purchased. We had the summer school. We had originally we're going to put the cafeteria door replacement in there. The plan is right now to move that to ARP. We have the baseball and softball field repair in there. We had $4,698. I think it's probably more than that by the time we get done with everything. But Everything should be fixed. It should look nice by the time you get done. It looks horrible yet. Energy Breast books, the two of which you guys got, and I have one for Dawn as well, for our whole entire staff. Our reading coordinator that we are hiring, the ELL coordinator and head teacher, and the second ELL teacher, along with the stipend and benefits for returning workers, is all in there. And that comes to, there's $31,444.66 left to spend. So we will either use much of that in indirect costs, which means we can use that for workshops and different things that we have people go to, or we can tag that to another project. Okay? So that's the ESSER II. We approved that part of it that last time, and basically, again, that was just $488,000 and whatever it was that we approved. I apologize at not having the exact amount. That one we did approve. That one's done. It's in the works, and we're right now going through the approval stages. The ARC planning, right now what they allow us to do with the ARC funding is we are able to take any classrooms where we have more than one teacher, where we are breaking those classrooms into smaller numbers so that we can cut the learning gap and do a better job of teaching to the kids. We are allowed to we're not really ever supposed to do that, but now we can do it with this one.
Supplant.
So in many of the grants, you can't supplant. So if we are already doing something, we can't pay for it with another grant because we're already doing it. But in ARP and ESSER, we can supplant. So things that we're already paying for out of other grants, like we have a bunch of teachers that we pay part of their salary out of either title, or we pay it out of early childhood or reading or rural schools or classroom reduction grants, okay? So instead of doing that next year, our plan is to save that money because that money can grow and we get to hold on to it. And our M&O can grow and we can hold on to it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to spend the money out of the ESSER mm-hmm. to pay for one of the teachers, one K through five, one teacher at each level. And that will help us save about $400,000 by the time we take salaries, benefits, and the 20.1% retirement and Social Security, FICA, and all that kind of junk. So when you add all that up, it's a pretty good chunk of change, and we're going to take and pay that, so we save that money in M&O. The goal being that when we're done with these two grants that we're working on, we have built our M&O up so that we are able to continue to offer and keep these new teachers and programs that we put in place. Last year, we rolled forward about $100,000. I think it might have been less than that, but about. So this year we're going to roll forward about $300,000. That was because of help with ESSER I, and we didn't spend as much as we thought we would in a normal year. Next year we're hoping that we have that $300,000 and we roll forward another $200,000 or $300,000, so we're at $500,000 in the following year, something similar. So we can be between $600,000 and $800,000 in M&O. That's all money you can spend to continue to do though anything you want with it. But that will then we can turn around when the grants are gone, which we know they're going to be gone. Then we have that money put aside so that you are able, and I'll be gone by then, but you'll be able to pay your teachers, keep the programs, and keep that going for at least another 3 or 4 years, hopefully. So that's what my goal and what I've talked with Donna about. That's what we're going to try to do. I already know there are going to be people that are going to say, well, the teachers need more money and they need to have their increased salaries. And that's not what it's for. And there are very few people that are putting any of that money into teacher salaries. Okay, there is money that's being put into 301. That is all being changed. There's only going to be a new 301 plan that's going to be coming out, and that money is going to be set aside for teachers and classroom reduction. Okay. But this money that we're getting, we can use it for retention bonuses. We can still do that for the next couple of years. And that would be something I think I would recommend that we look at doing. I think that's one way to help keep people. And I think it's a nice thank you. I mean, even though it's not a huge amount, I mean, you know, you get an extra $500 or $600. Or, you know, if we don't have an insurance increase, we're able to give them $1,000. You know, that's nice. It's a thank you. It's better than anything. But just so that we understand exactly what it's for, it's not meant so that you can give everybody a $5,000 raise or six or seven, whatever. That's not what it's for each year. This money is to for the long term, to take care of whatever you need for your buildings, to spend. And our goal is to try to spend it so that we're looking at 5 to 7 years down the road. It's like we've got a plan for our technology, how we're going to be purchasing our iPads and our computers or Chromebooks. And so I think we've got it worked out so that by 2024, September, you know, we are done spending that money and we have replaced, I think it's like 90 iPads and about 60 to 80 Chromebooks. We have to continually replace, you know, things, because as we get the new kids, we want the fifth graders to get brand new Chromebooks, keep them all the way through eighth grade. You know, and at some point in time, we will probably get to a point where we'll have a year where we won't order, because we'll have plenty. Maybe moving them down to even the fourth grade. We're looking at using some of the, you know, some ones that are used and giving them to the fourth grade next year if that works. So that's what we're looking at using, something that when you look back on it, 7 years from now, you look back and you say, you know, we spent that money and look what it's done for the district. You know, and so by bringing in the ELL teachers, by bringing in a reading coach, by keeping the classrooms smaller, by, you know, the new phonics programs and the new ELL program that we're bringing in for curriculum. I think we're doing it the right way, bringing in these TVs. I think the kids are going to love it. The younger kids are really going to love it. If we can get them engaged in the learning, it's just going to make the school better. So everything we've got going really ties in together. And hopefully when we get all the staff back here and we start doing our training, that it all makes sense to them of why we're doing what we're doing. So that's where it is. It's a little goofy when you look at it. It's like, okay, why are you doing that? And then you got LED lighting in here, and then you got the business person, and you got a 14-passenger white bus, and then you've got iPads three different times, and you've got summer school in here twice, and you've got teacher computer replacement in here, so many computers each year. That's all because those are things, and depending upon if it's in the regular funding or the set-aside funding, we have $218,000 and we can only use it for certain things, before and after school, certain things with technology for kids, or certain programming and summer school. Mm. So that's a lot of money for a school our size to spend for summer school and after school tutoring, because we can't pay, or we shouldn't be paying anybody to be tutoring when they're on their regular contract. They should be tutoring after their contract day ends until a certain other period of time to be paid extra for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's all considerations that we have to make, but those are the ways we can spend the money. There are certain things that are legal and certain things that are not. So we have pretty much put together how we will do it. That reading coach and ELL people and the business person that we added are also in the 22-23 AARP. So those four people will not come off of anything to do with our regular budget until the 23-24 school year. So you're going to get 2 years out of all four of those individuals, and it's not going to cost the district a penny from the district's funding. It's all going to be out of the ESSER funding, which to me is a good deal. You know, the business person has helped a lot. She's also going to take up grant writing. And then the other three with a reading coach and two ELL teachers is what we really need. I think that it's going to make a huge difference for us. So I really feel good about how we're spending the money so far. There's still more to a lot, but not a lot more.
Tim, I think, and the board, I think that after this whole thing with COVID, and I think this is going to be a big asset, they need every advantage that they can after what they've been through in the last year. And so I think all this is just beneficial in my eyes. So I'm all for it.
ESSER is federal, correct?
ESSER is federal. That's why I said they are allowing us to supplant, which is kind of weird, because in every other federal grant, we can't supplant.
No, but this is not from the state. This is federal.
Correct. Okay. Well, not yet. Well, it's from the federal through the state to us. We have to fill it out for the state, and then they send it to the federal.
It's just, it works like the title grant.
It's just like the title grant, but it's the supplanting is what's so different. So that's
more flexibility.
Exactly, and that with the hope of being able to sustain what we put in longer by doing what I was just talking about.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that was state dollars.
Yeah, no, it's federal money that was given to the state that was funneled to the schools that we apply and go back through the state, and then they send it to the feds, and then we get paid.
For this item, is it two separate things? Is it the
ESSER 2 ESSER we already approved.
Okay.
So the ESSER 3, all we're doing right here is just you approving that we put together this budget for $1,092,000 and however many dollars it is. I have it there. Okay, yeah. $1,092,157.75.
Is it two separate things between the ESSER 3 and the ARP?
ESSER 3 and ARP are exactly the same thing. If you talk to one person, they call it ESSER 3, but ultimately it was called the American Recovery Plan.
Okay.
So they're just calling it ESSER 3 because the money that's going to the schools had come in ESSER 1 and ESSER 2, and it's a continuation of that, but for some reason they put a different name on it.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the ESSER 3 or ARP, or whatever you want to call it, in the budgeted amount of $1,092,157.75.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Thing on the agenda is presentation and discussion and possible vote on approving the purchase of a 14-passenger plus driver white bus. Okay, so I learned a lot about Arizona. I've learned a lot about Arizona in the last 2 years. I learned even more when it came to buying a bus and how political it is. All right, so we have three quotes for you, and our problem is we do not have enough bus drivers, but some people like Mrs. Morgan would love to be able to drive a bus, but they don't have a bus driver license. So us getting a white bus will allow her to fulfill that dream she's had her entire life. And so as long as you have a legal driver's license, you can drive a white bus because it doesn't have eight-way flashers. But if you step onto a little yellow bus, it is exactly the same. It has eight-way flashers, and you can't drive unless you have a bus driver license. So why would anyone buy a 14-passenger bus that was yellow that you had to have a CDL and a bus driver license for? I don't know. In almost any other state, I know there are like five or six states that are do the same as Arizona, but almost every other state, a 15-passenger is considered a van, and you can drive it no matter what. I drove them all the time. So we are going to be legal, and in order to do that, we searched around, and Donna knew this company in Tucson from years ago, so I called them, and lo and behold, they shot the bottom out of the bid, and they bid, and they have them in stock. They have 14-passenger white buses plus the driver at $64,984.06. I am going to tell you, I think that's extremely high.
Chevy,
in Arizona, it's not. In Arizona, there's another bid that's at almost $67,000, $66,996. And if you go to the third bid, they came all the way down to $78,000 because when we talked to them on the phone, they were between $80,000 and $90,000. This is for a 14-passenger bus when you can buy a 70-passenger bus for $105,000. It's crazy, but they have you because they only had so many chassis, they only built so many buses, and if we wanted to go with that $78,000 bus, that would not even be delivered until January. They are back ordered for 6 or 7 months. So my recommendation would be that we approve the purchase of the Thomas bus, and we will move forward with that as soon as we make sure that we have that funding in the ESSER approved for the bus. We should have that by July 1, and then we would be able to move forward with that. We would purchase it out of capital, and then we would replace that money from the ESSER fund. We would journal entry it. So this will allow us to, if we have after-school program and we need to give kids a ride home in a bus route, use that. If we have a cross-country team going and there's 10 members, the coach can drive. We don't have to pay a bus driver to drive and sit and watch a three-hour cross-country meet and pay a driver 5 or 6 hours to take that team and come back. And then we have to pay somebody to drive the bus out after school to substitute for our regular driver. So it's really a cost savings thing. We get better gas mileage. It's a gasoline bus. I have used them at each of the schools I've been at, and it's been a lifesaver because bus drivers are so hard to find all over the United States. So because of all of the different things, when we look at it and the fact that we have a bus that's aging, actually two buses that we hardly ever use, we will also let them know we are going to trade one of our old buses, but they gave us this quote without a trade-in, so the actual dollar amount should be less. We need to decide which bus to trade in. We have a much older bus with less miles, and it doesn't have all the herky-jerky computer stuff, and we have a little newer bus with more miles with the herky-jerky computer stuff. So we're in a discussion mode about which bus we should keep and which one we should trade in. So our hope is that we'll, get some money for that. But to keep all of those buses around, it's not a good idea. And I will be coming to you because we also will check with them about possibly trading maybe our three school vehicles in and just getting one decent vehicle. Because our three vehicles basically are all laid up right now.
Yeah, the Corolla, the Suburban, and the Camry.
Right now, the most dependable vehicle we have is probably the Corolla. If you drive the Corolla, you just are hoping that the steering wheel and the white wheel stay on because it just feels like something.
I'm surprised you guys haven't brought that up to get in a new vehicle.
But
they're all new for sure,
We didn't have the money to do that.
And so Suburban.
With this now, we take those three and we go and get one good vehicle. Or go and get one that's just coming off of that lease program that's got 18 or 20,000 miles. But, they have almost new Malibus and different things like that, 4 or 5 passenger vehicles. Something solid that's in good shape. Mm-hmm. Trade in our three vehicles, or if you guys want to, you could put them up like you want. Find out what they'll give you for a trade-in, and then you can put them up and let people bid. And if they bid enough, tell them the starting bid is whatever they're going to give us. If somebody wants to bid more than that, they could buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you get people that will do that. We did in South Dakota. We sold our Suburban for about $1,500 more than I thought we would. You never know. I mean, if somebody's a good mechanic, the Suburban, they probably could get going and be pretty good. I mean, it's not that old. It's just, it doesn't have terribly high miles. It's just sat outside for so long. So this would be the price without trading anything in. I don't have a car for you to do that with yet, but we'll be talking about that in the next month or two. I just want to get approval from the ESSER before I bring you a car. I want to make sure that's going to fly. Mm-hmm. This would be my recommendation would be to go with the Thomasville bus, which is from Auto Safety House. they gave us a much better deal. So, and I think they have an office in Tucson. Jeremy, the guy who quoted us, actually his office, he works out of the Phoenix office, but he covers our area. So they have three buses right now on site.
And it's a Chevy.
It's a Chevy. Thomas is a Chevy. It's on a Chevy frame.
Chevys are good.
In the three different districts, I've had just about every kind of bus. And with every bus, there's good and there's bad. You know, the problem with newer buses is that when you drive them on back roads and they bounce around and things are computerized, you get blips that you wouldn't get in the old days when you didn't have all that junk. So we don't have eight-way stoppers and some of that fancy stuff, so there'll be less that can go wrong with this. But I've had Thomas buses in Minnesota that were really good, and I had some Thomas buses that weren't really good. So,
Don, you want to make a motion?
Sure, I'd like to make a motion to approve the item pertaining to the 14-passenger bus.
Second.
Which one, Thomas?
I'm sorry, my grandson just woke up.
The
is that the name you need?
Yes.
Yes. That's what we're referring to, that we were pushing, that we're thinking about, right?
Yeah, that's the Thomas. It's the one with the better pricing.
Right.
Brisa seconds. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's going to be a good, I think that's great.
I like that idea.
Well, it helps us because we have a class of 13 kids and they want to do a field trip. Now I don't have to send a bus driver. I can have a para ride the bus to help chaperone.
Well, it should last some time too, and it's a perfect size, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And it's a Chevy.
And there wasn't any used ones out there either.
Yeah, we tried Houston. There's nothing else. No white ones that are used. They did have some yellow ones, but again, that does us no good. Because we can't even spray paint them white because they've got the 8-way black. Letter D is dealing with the three new teachers. It's so exciting because we have every position filled except for the custodian position yet. And we got some really good teachers this year. I am just really excited. I think you're going to like these people. The first person is Constance Henry. She's been an elementary teacher for over 25 years. She's coming in with a master's plus 15. And she has been teaching in Vermont, New York, Colorado, Mexico. And then she had a family or a lifestyle change. And she lost about 180 pounds and got divorced. And she went overseas for the next 4 years. So she's been in Dubai this year. She was in the Dominican Republic. She was in China at two different schools in China and two different parts of China.
Wow.
So the last 4 years, she wanted to travel and see different parts of the world. So she went and did that. And now she's ready to come back. She hasn't been able to spend much time with family and stuff. So she wants to come back to the U.S. and She just happened to know Julie Campos, the lady we hired for the ELL. And so Julie told her that we had a first and fifth grade opening, and we interviewed her. We had to do it over the Zoom because she was still in Dubai. But Maria Martin and Xenia Franco sat in the interviews with me, and they were really excited when they interviewed her and were kind of arguing about who should get her at their grade level. And then we interviewed Nancy Ledesma.
Ledesma,
that's right. And Nancy had been an early elementary teacher for almost 25 years also. And so when we did that, then Ms. Martin said, okay, I'll take Nancy and you can have Constance. Both got good ones. Nancy's going to come in with just a bachelor's degree. And then the third person in letter D is the young lady that we hired last year as a long-term sub. She has her master's degree. which at some point in time may come in handy for us because it's also in special education. So we now have, I think, 4 people on staff with special education degrees, which is kind of weird. Usually you can't find anybody, and we have 4. But Sarah Stone did a very nice job. She worked with Xenia Franco this year in a mentoring program. And I really think we got very lucky with her. She's full of energy. She does a great job with the kids. The feedback I got from parents was very positive. The kids really seemed to like her. So if anything, the only negative feedback I ever heard was that she gets excited and she's too loud. So when she was online, that she was loud. They could hear her when they were in other rooms and the kids were on. It's like, that's the worst thing she's doing, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway.
I consider that a good thing.
Yeah, that's a big plus. Seriously.
Those are the 3. She will come in with a master's degree, but this will be her first year of actual teaching because we can't count anything that wasn't in school, so she wasn't licensed. So those are the 3 that I would recommend. Nancy would be placed in junior first grade. Constance would be placed in 5th grade for this year, and Sarah Stone will stay in 4th grade.
Cool. Nothing.
Nothing.
Do you have anything, Don?
No, I'm excited. I think the experience, and I think this is a great for our school. So
cool.
I'm great with it.
I think the nice thing too that both Ms. Franco and Ms. Martin talked with me about afterwards was they just felt like these 2 teachers that we're bringing in at 1st and 5th grade both are very professional. And I think that's anytime we can bring in people that are professional and take the profession of being a teacher to heart and know the importance of it, I think that's a plus. And I think that'll rub off on some of our younger teachers that are still learning the craft. So yeah. I think it's really going to be fun. I'm very, very excited for this year. I really am. I think we got very lucky in our hiring.
I think so, too. Are we ready?
We're all ready.
I'd like to make a motion to approve Ms. Hendry, Ms. Stone, and Ledesma.
I'll second.
Aye.
And if we could add in there, the verbiage, welcome to the Naco Elementary School District.
I will do that. All right.
I think I'm going to go into a diabetic shock.
All right, so the next part is basically just fixing up. Last time I brought to you and I asked that we hire 2 younger workers, and as the start date got pushed back, it came to the point where we could hire 4 people to work 1 month for about the same amount, actually just a hair less than we had planned on having 2 people work about a month and 3/4. And so I got the verbal from all of you that you were okay with it. So we did that. We're bringing it back to the board to officially approve the hiring of 2 more part-time students, 16 to 18-year-old students, 4 hours a day from June 14th to July 14th. The 4 students that we chose and who have been working, and I will just say, I have been doing a really great job. They are moving. Amanda was out last week, and we had Francis just took 2 kids and went one way, and Victor took 2 kids and emptied classrooms, and they kept stripping floors, and they kept emptying and moving furniture, and it's great to have young kids with all that energy.
Young
blood.
Jimena Valdez, Victor's Valdez sister?
His sister, yeah. She's the only 18-year-old. The other 3 are all 16. So we had 2 other boys. Any interview questions? There were a few things when we went through that just didn't quite add up to being the best answer.
The only thing I would say is that Jimena, don't let her work with Victor.
No, we don't.
Because of family, let her do with Francis. Because
we specifically told them that last week, so she's been with Francis every day.
I've seen it before.
I think it's also a good thing for these young kids because
from what I heard, Saul Carrillo, he did good on the interview, but his brother, on the other hand, did not do so well.
One of the kids' questions to us when I was in the interview is the same way. Do you have any questions for us? And the first question on one of the boys was, do we have to be here every day?
Oh, my God.
No, you don't have to. Don't worry about it.
It's a good experience for them.
But honestly, the kids have been really good. I mean, they are here. They are here early. And we get 4 hours, and they get about an 8 or 10 minute break, and then they're right at it for basically the whole 4 hours. They've been really good. Tomorrow they'll be one or two of them will be helping with the floors, but the rest of them are going to be out working on the baseball field. I wonder if we got our deliveries today. They'll get nice and dirty out there tomorrow. But I told them that I'm going to be dirty tomorrow. So hopefully that don't worry.
I think it's a great experience for everybody.
Yeah, it's been really good. And I think it's been just as good for our workers as it was for the kids, because I think our workers have, like, got to be focused. And, it's like Francis had those kids working, and she had to keep them busy. She had to keep going. Mm-hmm. So she had to go at a pace. And the same with Victor and we sent two boys with him and it's worked out great. So it's been very good. I think just having the responsibility of certain things, they know they've got certain things each day, and then whatever job comes up and whoever they're told to go with, they're going with. And it's worked out really well. Okay. So.
And you know, there's no other districts in our area
that
have ever hired kids.
Yeah,
so
I haven't heard of anybody.
We did that all in South Dakota and Minnesota. We did it all the time.
And see,
they were so dependable.
Before COVID, they used to hire DOC guys.
Yeah.
But with COVID, that's all
they stopped. Yeah.
Inmates?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather hire a kid. Versus an inmate.
They would have the inmates come in, because then generally, I think they got them for like half or a quarter of the price. They didn't have to pay.
Right. And that's how it goes with the county. With the county also. So, it's great. It's great that we have the students and that they're really working their butts off too.
They are. Good attitudes. I haven't heard one complaint.
Because I know that they were doing like summer jobs and stuff like that through the workforce community, but that has stopped already because of budget-wise and stuff like that.
I just think this was a great thing, and
that's awesome.
We hope that we're able to do it again next year, because we're able to give 2, 3, or 4 kids an opportunity to get a little responsibility, get some experience, and then these were all kids that came to our school. You know, it's a cancer kid, yep. And they kind of know their way around a little bit.
So the total that you hired was 4?
We hired 4.
Okay.
And when I was in high school, I worked at the cafeteria. For lunch, so I didn't really get a lunch. I would, eat on the go.
You're making up for it tonight.
I know.
And got paid for it. That was really cool.
Either way.
All right. I don't know. Did anybody make a motion?
I want to make a motion to approve of the 4 students that were chosen to work during the summer.
I'll second that.
Aye.
All right. Done?
Aye.
Done with your vote?
I said aye.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. I think we all aye'd at the same time there.
All right. The next point is the hiring of Kristen King as the business assistant. The terms of the contract, and I meant to, I don't know if you can get it. I gave you guys a copy of her information, but I didn't have a copy of her contract. So, I know most of it by heart, but Kristen came when we were interviewing before. We were looking at in the $40,000 to $45,000 range. We were able to get Kristen at $35,500. She has experience. She's already been doing our procurement. She's been doing our purchase orders for both this year and next year. and she's been doing reconciliations. So she's been at it for 7 days, and she's starting to help us with the e-civics grant stuff. So she's doing a great job. Her base salary was $35,500. In that, what I would like to, what I put in her contract, and I would like you to approve, is that at the completion of the audit completion and after a satisfactory evaluation, she would receive up to a $1,000 bonus. And rationale being for what she's doing for us and going to do for us in the next year, I believe she's worth probably more than $36,500 for what we're going to get out of her. And that would be the $36,500 bonus to that if she gets that with the if we get our audits completed and everything in place, which she will help a lot with. Then we would also, and then she obviously, if that happens, she'd probably have more than a satisfactory evaluation and set herself up for $1,000 bonus. Instead of just making it part of her salary.
You said so $35,500 and then plus $1,000?
She can earn $1,000 bonus.
Okay.
After the audit completion, right?
Yes. No, after, you said audit completion?
Audit completion and evaluation.
And evaluation, okay.
Satisfactory.
Okay.
You have
anything, Don?
No, I'm good.
So I'll make a motion to approve the hiring of Kristen King as the business office assistant at a salary of $35,500, and also added in there after an audit completion and a satisfactory evaluation, a $1,000 bonus.
Second that.
Aye.
There you go.
And moving on to G, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on the recommendation for the six salaried employees.
I didn't correct that.
Oh, you didn't?
Well, no, I corrected it, but I didn't change the 5 to 6. I added the sixth person. I just forgot to write 6.
Yeah, there's 6 listed. It's just a typo on the number 5.
Well, we'd already done Kristen King anyway, so right. Technically the number's 5.
Maybe
right?
The 7th next year, but I.
I'm six. I see what you're saying. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So if you would like, so that we can visit about what we have down, we are able to go into closed session for about negotiations, and I can answer any questions and we can address anything that you have. If you are okay with not doing that, then what my recommendation would be is that if you have a question about an employee, that you refer to them as A1 through F6, which is to the far right side of that spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
What's the C3 extra duty?
Okay, so the C3, what instead of changing the salary, they have asked to have an extra duty taken away from them, and we will post that position for someone on the staff to work. Okay. And then since they are then taking over new duties and learning a new job, that basically is going to be a wash. So that's why I left that money there. But then the duties are changing from them doing that assigned duty to learning another job.
Oh, okay.
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 Sorry, that's why I said if you wanted to go to a closed session, it'd be easier. I have to think in my mind and say how it is, so how I can say it.
Actually, I'm fine with it, but I just, because it said extra duty, I was like, okay.
Right, and so what I tried to show you there is an amount of raise and what that would be in an hourly rate increase,
mm-hmm.
And then I showed you over the last 3 years for each person and how much their hourly rate increase would be over the last 3 years. I didn't know how else to break it down, because one of the individuals was on an hourly before, so I thought that was the easiest way to show everybody.
Yeah, I want to go into a closed session and I got one thing that
okay.
I'd rather.
All right, so we're trying to get 6:15. So if you're ready, sir, we can go into closed session.
Yep.
6:15.
So we have to make a motion for that, right?
Yes,
so I'll go ahead and make a motion to go into executive session to discuss
negotiations.
At
6:15? At 6:15, yes.
Okay. You want to stay here and I'll step outside? Yeah, I'll go over here.
Yeah, we can just go in that back room.
We're set up with the audio though. Yeah,
I'm gonna stop the audio. So
we have to stop the audio anyway.
So
who
seconded?
Aye, me.
Okay, and my vote is aye.
Almost makes the motion. Second.
And then your vote is aye.
Aye.
Done? All right, I'm gonna go ahead and stop the recording.